We're about to go
Blog
live.
Talk Radio.
Realize we're not going to defeat COVID-19,
But we got to learn to make the adjustment and do what we need to do so we can get some kind of control of it. So it is good to have an opportunity to share our thoughts tonight. You know, if again, if you want to call in, you have an opportunity, 347-857-4192. And if you want to go to the web link just to hear the show, you can go to www.radio.com/The Smith Way Production. And then if you want to email, you can go to talkingrealtoyou@gmail.com. Or you can tweet the show at talkingrealtoyou, at LorenzaDSmith15, at Coach with a K underscore L underscore Smith. So we want you to be a part of it. We got several people that make up this team. Now, if you look over my shoulder, and for those individuals who can see me, the stream is going to split into half. So you can see me. This is our hashtag for this show, the Talking Real to You. Hashtag One Life Matter. And this, we were talking one night, and we said, instead of we worrying about everything, let's worry about one life matter. And we need to do everything in education, need to do everything in the political scene, everything economically, everything medically to make sure people are successful. So we just got a lot to do. We have a lot to do. So we got to talk about this tonight. We want you to be a part of it, Tom. We're ready to go and make it do what it do. I think we're getting a better sound here, Lisa, for some reason. I don't know what happened there, but it
is. I put my AirPod on. Drew said that Andrew Schultz suggested I put my AirPods on.
Man, and you're sounding awesome.
Andrew's the best.
Good, good. So, again, tonight's show is America's Struggle. COVID-19 still winning. We have several individuals that serve on the team. But as I said, look over my show. I already said hashtag One Life Matter. Then we have the names of each one of the individuals part of this team. So we want you to get your shirt. Now, the cost of the shirt is only for shipping and handling, $4.95. So if you cash out, and that's Lorenzo D. Smith, $ Lorenzo D. Smith, and you send five, they're going to take $5, they're going to take 5 cents. So it'll equal up to $4.95. And if you do the same thing for PayPal, which is paypal.me/drlorenza. Get your shirt because we want to publicize that for us, one life matter. And that's what we're going to be talking about throughout this time. And I, as I was saying earlier, Lisa, I talk about people have accepted reality. And I was listening to an expert today about COVID-19. COVID-19 is not going anywhere. What we have to do, we have to make the necessary adjustment to follow the safety measures that's put before. We cannot spend our time fighting about wearing a mask. The mask helps in regards to kind of controlling it.
Right.
It's not
right.
So much coming from you.
And
helps, you know, and social distancing you, because if somebody, you know, close to you and coughing all over you, you don't have a mask, you have no defense. But you not saying it's going to stop it. I'm not the expert, but I'm saying it helps.
Right.
You see our numbers are falling. Wash your hands. As we had a conversation, yesterday, we had a conversation about my people washing their hands. And I said, I didn't realize that many people until now that really don't wash their hands. They go to the restroom or the bathroom and don't wash their hands. So those couple things, and stay at home if you don't have to be out, it is serious. Now, we might not feel comfortable doing it. We're going to make some necessary adjustments. But we have to understand that if we practice those four measures, we won't defeat it. It may continue to win, but the bottom line is we'll have an opportunity to have some success. Also, we have what we call our mask contest going on.
Oh, yes, mask.
You know, put on your mask. You know, say, I have my mask, and I purchased this from one of the persons. And we have a gift card for the individual who just sent us a design.
$50 gift card, guys.
Listen, $50 from Amazon. Check it out. This is a contest. You all here, you hear me on Facebook, you hear me on Blog Talk Radio to make sure. Now, we're being broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. I have given you the call-in number. Now, also Facebook. We're live on Facebook. Several people are joining. I can see the pictures up there. Appreciate everybody that's joining. I want you to respond by typing in some thoughts. I really want you to do that. Now, especially when you talk about face masks, come up with the best design. Send it to me. Email it to talkingrealtoyou@gmail.com or LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com. You can go to Facebook and just send us your design. And you can get that $50 Amazon gift card, and we'll all say we'll take it. And it's in relation to the show now. We want you to relate to face masks.
And they can also post it on the Wellnessology page, too, guys. I'll put it on that page.
Exactly. So you got opportunity.
I'll post it on there.
This is something we want to do. Also, in return, once you send it in, you're the person identified as having that best mask design, not only $50, you also will get a shirt. That shirt said One Life Matter and have the names of all the individuals who make up the team of Talking Real to You. We're ready to make this thing happen. We want to blow up like it needs to be blown up. We're going to make it do what it do, and God knows we're going to give our best shot. This is Marlon Monday, and we're so excited to have a chance to come before you. We're going to have an awesome show tonight as our team call in. We're going to make sure we get them live on the line, let them share their thoughts, because we expect to talk about some things that some people take for granted. People are not seeing as things we need to look at, but everybody mentally, emotionally, physically is being affected by in COVID-19 or coronavirus pandemic. So we have to keep in mind these things are so important. So we want to make sure we can talk about it, because this is a real talk show that focuses on just plain old life issues. That's what it's all about. We're going to talk about what's going on. So we're going to have an awesome show. Let's get this thing started up, Lisa, and we'll let you have this opportunity to offer your welcome.
Can I have a little moment here to share something?
Yes.
I work with a kid, and he's 14, and he was very upset today because he doesn't understand. He's upset he can't go to high school this first year. He can't get a haircut. He can't leave the house. I actually kept him longer today. He was very upset. He doesn't understand why people can't just follow a direction or a rule, whether or not you believe it. So I'm asking you, from all my kids, depression, anxiety, not leaving the house, they don't understand why the grown-ups, and he said it today, and he was using poor language, actually. He was so upset, but he said, why can't the grown-ups just wear a mask, whether you believe it or not? He said, please. He asked me if I would even talk about it tonight. If you think it's a hoax, it's okay. If you don't believe in this virus, it's okay. But there is something out there, and people are getting really sick from it. And now it's affecting kids, and they can't go back to school. Hey, Kevin. Yeah, they can't go back to school, and it's a devastation. They can't see their friends. It really upset me today. 14, can't start high school, can't see his friends, can't go get a haircut. Can't go to the mall. He said, I would do anything to just go walk through the mall for 5 minutes. I don't even need to buy anything. And I think we need to keep in mind how this is affecting our youth, how this is going to affect our youth, and how it's going to affect our college-age kids. And I'm looking at it from a mental health point of view right now. And I don't see this going the right way if we don't take it upon ourselves to just social distance, wear the mask, wash your hands, take care of ourselves. And I know some people get upset when I talk about wearing a mask. I don't judge you if you don't, but I think for the sake of these poor children, put your mask on. I'm ordering masks. I'm waiting for them to arrive. If anyone needs masks, I'm happy to donate them from Katie's Kids. Just ordered about 300 of them. I'm happy to ship them to you free. If there's anything that I can do, Dr. Lowe, that we could do to help or just be supportive, I know it's a life changer, but you think about your children. If you're a parent right now, I want you to think about your kids, your friends' kids. You know, it's damaging. So if we can try to all work together and just let's combat this thing, it's never going away.
Yes.
Regardless of a vaccine or not, it's never going away. It's a highly contagious virus that, because we don't fully know all the true numbers, we don't know if the tests are accurate, we know all these things, but let's just try to follow the protocol that's being suggested by the medical professionals.
Exactly.
That's what I wanted to say, because it really upset me today. It broke my heart, you know, to see this today.
It's well said, Lisa. We thank you so much. This is Lisa Levine, and we're so glad to have her as a co-host on this show. We have several other people a part of the team, but she's always here sharing her awesome thoughts, and I do appreciate her so much for taking time to even want to be on the show with Dr. Lowe. And we're excited about what we can bring to you, and we're going to continue to come at you. Like I said, we're going to come at you hard. We're going to come and make it do what it do, and we're going to have an exciting night. Again, just remember what we're going to be talking about, America's struggles, COVID-19 still winning. And we have on the line now, we do appreciate her calling in through Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, as soon as we can get it popped up, none other than our co-host from the state of South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, retired educator, retired administrator, retired counselor, and a lover of all people, none other than Scarlett H. Black. How you doing, Scarlett?
Well, I'm doing fine. I'm glad to be on tonight. Today is my birthday, so I've had a lot going on.
Happy birthday.
And didn't know when I was going to be able to make it, but when I give my word and a promise, I try to follow through. So glad to be with you tonight, and so glad for our listening audience to be with us also.
Awesome. Happy birthday. I'm going to sing a little bit. Hopefully somebody likes this voice out here. So just get ready now. I'm about to do this. I do this to all the people I love, all my family members. They know if they're on the show, the ones that are watching, they know I have a habit of doing this to them by calling them. And I'm going to do it now. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, Scarlett. Happy birthday to you. And many more. So we give her a hand clap, everybody.
Yay. You got a pretty good voice. I was kind of bracing myself.
And hey, what my dad told me. He told me I sound like somebody screaming in the backyard. So I just want to do that and say truly, truly from my heart, happy birthday to you. Not only
Thank you, sister,
not only a Shaw Rob, not only a friend, but a person that's a part of this team that came in, volunteered, and I do appreciate you. Again, happy, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. We're going to have an awesome night, so we want to get this show started. Scarlett, we did share in the early part of the show about we having a mask contest. So individuals can design a mask for Talking Real to You, send a design to us. They can win that opportunity of a $50 Amazon gift card, and also they'll get a shirt to go along with it. So we want to have a mask, and we want to continue to publicize what we're trying to do. You know, one life matters. No matter what anybody else say, one life matters.
Just
make sure we have those children. And I get to the point, everybody, you know, I say one life, our elderly, we somehow we forget, and that's one of my fight, and I like elderly care. I'm going to fight for it, and I'm going to do the thing. And I don't want to hear that just because we got 50% of the people there that are in the nursing home passing from COVID-19, it's all right. It ain't all right because one life matters. And we're going to keep preaching that, and I'm going to keep preaching that because that's what it's all about. But we're going to get to this show and spend some time talking about some issues that are really people, I feel like, have forgotten about certain people in our society dealing with COVID-19, particularly the millennial mothers. The mental health they may have and the stress they're going through being a first-time mother. In a lot of cases, some of them already, you know, they may be trimester. You know, as a man, you know, we just listen and go along and say, it's
time. Trimester.
Some of them, and you're getting to the point where their mental health is being challenged because of COVID-19, not knowing where their child will come out into this world like that. So we never, we talk about everybody else. We talk about parents. We talk about children. We talk about teachers. We talk about elderly people. But we never talk about those millennium mothers, those new mothers who's been impacted, and their mental health has been impacted way beyond the scope we can even talk about, but we want to talk about it at night. So we want to take that as a topic and share some thoughts on it, because it's important that we look at it, because a lot of, matter of fact, I had a niece, or we just had an addition to the family, to our Smith family, and it was a week after my dad transitioned. My niece had a little baby girl. Name is Oakland Paisley Smith. So I'm like so excited.
Congratulations.
You know, but the challenges she's having right now mentally, I don't know whether my child's going to contract this. I don't know what's going to happen. Let's talk a minute about that. What's your thoughts in regards to the millennial mothers, the young mothers who's having children now and dealing with COVID-19?
Yeah, you can go ahead. That's the heavy one. I got to think that one through, because even on good years before COVID-19, you're having so many experience postpartum depression and trying to navigate that, and that's a handful in itself, even without the COVID-19 fears and worries. So it's that's a heavy topic. It really is on what to do. And how to do it. And Lisa, I'll let you go first, but I'm going to say one thing is to make sure you stay in touch with your medical physician, and do not think that you're in it alone, and do not think that your feelings or what you're feeling or how you're feeling is to be dismissive. Don't you, as the person, the woman, dismiss it in yourself. And seek help, and start, you know, with your gynecologist to seek help and possible referrals if needed to other physicians that can help you through this emotional time. Because one thing I liked the other day that former First Lady Michelle Obama did was to put it out there, and I think we've talked about this, I know Lisa, you've mentioned it too, about the feelings that we all are feeling. I think we talked about this several weeks ago, because many of us are feeling this low-grade, when I think she called it low-grade depression, or just the anxiousness. I've talked about my feelings on the night that Ahmaud Aubrey was shot just for jogging, and then turn around a week or so later, and here comes George Floyd. I literally could not sleep, and I was feeling these emotions. So you have, you know, a newborn baby at home. You have given, you know, you're getting ready to give birth, and you're having all these feelings and these fears, and particularly those of us in our culture, particularly if you know that you're having a boy too, you know, and the fear that comes with knowing that you've got to tell this black male from the time he is old enough to grasp an understanding that there's a different system, a different way that you have to act because of your gender and because of your race. So that's a lot to think about. But one thing, don't be dismissive of your feelings. Express it. Talk to someone. Talk with your own mother, grandmother, whomever. But most importantly, talk to a medical professional that can help you navigate through this. And if there are any referrals to be made, follow doctor's orders.
Awesome. You know, that's what we were talking about. Lisa?
I'll tap on to the postpartum, because we know most moms, after you have a baby, postpartum is usually inevitable. I think, one, it's very important to have a support system. If you don't have family, a group of friends, trusted people, moms groups are good. There's lots of moms groups on Facebook. Just make sure you find one that's appropriate for you. You can even probably ask your doctor's office, are there groups, you know, that you can join or be a part of? And sometimes, and I'm not a medication pusher, sometimes people need a low level, you know, low dose of an antidepressant temporarily. I'm very big on supplements. Talk to your doctor, though, and find out. And I just think it's very important because I know it's a confinement in the house. Probably the only time these moms go out is maybe for a walk or maybe to go to a doctor appointment. And then I think there's also fear, too, with nursing, you know, like nursing, not to nurse. I heard someone was recently relaying that message to me. So try not to feel like you're isolated.
Exactly.
I think that's important.
And I'm going to speak a little bit on that end, but I'm going to touch on the other end about support. When you mentioned about support,
yeah.
Males, fathers, it is time to step up. If you don't step up, and I want you to look me in my eyes when I say this, if you don't step up no other time in the past or in the future, this is time for you. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. You was of age to consent enough to concede. So it's time for you to step up. No reason now to step away from where you need to be. It don't matter how mad you are, you have to step up. I'm saying this because I talk to a lot of young males. I mentor a lot of young men about being fathers and what it takes to be a father. It don't take you to lay down and have that child. But at this time, when you have young millennium mothers and you've been a millennium father, you have to be there to be that support system. Because you know, even the way our hospital system works with COVID-19, that's a challenge in itself when you have a person who never have encountered this. Go to the hospital and not being able to have those people that support them to hold their hand. You know, that's one thing I dealt with my own parent. So, young men, it's time not to back up, step up. And I'm challenging you to do this because these young ladies need the support out of you. Now, if you're going to bring the drama with you, I don't know what else to tell you. You probably stay away because their mental health is a challenging point as is. And it, exactly as Carla said, once they do have a child, you go into this postpartum part, they don't need all this drama. You need to step up. You created a life, and it's time to not to shy away. That's my point in regards to how I see what we need for our millennial mothers from the male point of view. Now, that was the most beautiful thing that I was able to be there and see my daughter come out and be able to hold her. You know, they tell me, come, you can do this. Nah, y'all do this. I'm going to do the whole thing, you know? So, man, I'm sorry. Well, young men, now, if you're still a boy, it's okay. It's time to be a man. Step up. We need you. These young ladies need you. Millennium mother needs you.
And also, if you haven't if you haven't given birth yet and some of the concern, too, about COVID is – because we're seeing a lot of people who need to be in a hospital who have elected not to go to the hospital for fear of catching COVID while in the hospital.
Right.
Yep.
So
yep.
That's another fear circulating too. If you know that you're gonna have a baby, and talk with your gynecologist, talk with them about the arrangements. About where, what part of the hospital, and how safe it is, or are there any concerns? But get all your concerns answered. If anything else that we do on this show, it is to encourage and to promote asking questions. of those who are managing something over you or with you in your life. That's one thing that we as Black Americans do not do enough of. In asking the proper questions or the right questions, and sometimes the tough questions that need to be asked for fear that, you know, the person may not delete the service that I need or whatever the case may be. So you got to be an advocate for your own health. You know, I can tell you right now that my doctor told me one time, she said, "Laura, we know when you come, we know we're going to have to be ready." I said, "Yeah, you got that right." I said, "Because this is my health, you know,
yes.
And you are the person who is supposed to be an advocate with me for my health." So don't be shy about asking about what part of the hospital, is it away from the COVID units? How safe, you know, are you going to be? Ask those questions. Your doctor is supposed to be an advocate for you. So do not be afraid to speak up and speak out and advocate for yourself along with that medical personnel. That's what they're there for to do. And when you find somebody that's not doing that, then you need to make a change. If you can't get through this, but then after that, you know, find somebody that's going to listen. Because I left the practice for that very reason, and I told her, I said, you know, I'm you're not answering my questions, and you seem like you're bothered whenever I come in, you know. So I think I need to move my files and everything here, and find someplace else. And sure enough, I did. And they're wonderful.
And that's what we're talking about right there. We have to really realize that our health is important. One life matters. And as this begins to blossom and blow up, remember one life matters. Your life matters. If you're not going to make sure you're taken care of, you can't expect somebody else to do it. But when you go to the doctor as a millennium mother, go through the best prenatal care you can get, and the child is brought into this world, that you still work on continued care, not of just you know about child, but yourself, your mental, emotional state. All of this goes on, and we have to do that because these are challenging times. And do you want to be in the hospital? Some people are choosing to have the babies at home, or they're choosing choose to take that route. Instead of going to the hospital because they don't want their child to contract COVID-19. So it is a tough time for everybody, emotionally, mentally, physically. We're dealing with some things, even spiritually, definitely financially. All of that's involved. Those five things goes along with life. But we have to make sure to call the number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on here so you can chat along. I see several people is typing in. As I didn't get a chance to state earlier, I will on Facebook. That's facebook.com/drldalbertosmith. Then we're also on Twitter. And after we found out what our voice problem was, now I could go back to my iPad and put it up, and it's working real well, Lisa. So we're going to make sure we make it a Periscope, so we're doing that. So we're being recorded several different ways. We're being heard different ways. So make sure you take part, and that's Loretta D. Smith. You can check that out on Twitter and be a part of it as well. So let's move to our next topic in regards to something I don't think we have even considered as a parent. What happened to the parent who have children that may be adolescents, maybe even younger? If they get sick, is there a plan in place? What's the thought that we can share with parents on what needs to happen? Because we got to start planning these things now, because if they get sick, one of the biggest challenges, and I know Scarlett as well as Lisa can attest to this, dealing with going back to school. Some people need to have face-to-face or they got to go to work. So what happened if you get sick with COVID-19? What happened? And we want to see what the thought process. We want you to be a part of it. You can type in your thoughts there. You can also share your thoughts on Twitter. And also you can call in and share your thoughts. What exactly happened when parents get sick? Where do they go?
That's a good question.
Talk
especially
about
if you got both of them sick.
Yeah, you have everybody sick. For example, I'll take this, and I know whether you got a chance to see it, Lisa Scholar. This young man, I can't remember what state it was. Both his parents contracted COVID-19.
I was going to say both his parents died.
They died. So it leaves him by himself. Vice versa, that's the same thing. If the parents sick, who's going to be there to help take care of the children? Because we just can't rush in because of the way COVID-19 is. We got to find out what's going on. What is the best plan we can share with our watchers and our listeners about how we can help in a situation when a parent gets sick? When a parent gets sick, what happens? What do we do?
Well, these are really tough decisions that have to be made. And we talked about that a few weeks ago, and I think I gave some detailed plans on what you need to ask the schools before you send children back. Unfortunately, quite a few of these schools, as we have seen with the video that came out with the school in Georgia, where they're all crowded in the halls, no mask, no social distancing, no everything. You see, that's just abusive to me, and a lack of plan, or I don't give a flying flip whether we plan or not. Just come on in here and come to school, you know. Now they have, there might be more now, but they had 9 that contracted the virus as of yesterday. And I don't know if that count has risen or not. But you see, that's carelessness. And to me, that's abuse.
Exactly.
Because when everyone shut down back in March, most of the schools in this country closed. We have not had education going on, direct learning or in-person learning since then until getting ready to come back now. What should have been done at that time? Plans should have been made by administrators, district people, on if, when, and where schools open, how are we going to do this?
Yeah.
What do we plan to do? What plans we have in place for keeping people safe? Well, you know, the parents got upset, you know, started demanding, it's time for them to come back to school. No, it's time for them to get out of your hair. That type of thing. You know, and we got to learn between, you know, as Americans, I think I said last week, you know, we're some arrogant folks. You know, it's all about our comfort levels instead of what's safe for everybody else. You know, everybody else can go to the pot. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, whether I wear a mask or not because I really don't care about your safety. So this is what we have, and they're not going to bend that curve until people really get serious about this thing. And we've seen what happens in other places where they did take it seriously. The curve is bent, and they're able to go back to school and take the set of precautions that are needed. Then we got conflicting messages. So these are tough decisions where you're not getting any help, you're not getting any money, you're not getting any type of guidelines to tell you what's the safe thing to do, because what one person says, well, you know, I heard so-and-so say this. You know, and we have said time and time on this show, follow sound medical personnel advice.
Right.
Sound
exactly.
Medical personnel advice. Dr. Fauci, who has been in this fight for almost 40-some years of dealing with nothing but infectious diseases and epidemiology, sound professional medical advice. And we don't listen. CDC has pretty much fallen off the map because they can't they won't fight and tell the truth to the American people. So you got people out here saying so many different things, and then we're throwing these kids back into these environments where there have been no plans made. And
exactly.
Personally,
no roadmap.
I would not put my child in that situation where there are no plans. But when you can't do, you know, you got to work. You can't stay home, and you don't have the days to take off. You know, the question is, like you said, what do you do? Then you got to make your own plan.
Exactly.
You got to make your own plan. If you know that you have a child going to school, whether school mandated or not, my child would have on a mask. My children would be masked up. If they had anything to say about it when they got to school, then my children would say to them, you need to call my mother or my father, my parents, because they told me to wear this mask. And if someone calls you after you have your children masked up, and then you first of all get them into the habit of wearing the mask, I think Lisa talked about that a few weeks ago, get them into the habit of wearing the mask before they even get to the schoolhouse, and let them know what your expectations are for them, keep the mask on. And if somebody tells you to take the mask off, you have them to call me.
Exactly.
And that would be a conversation nobody would want to have, you know, with a parent. You gonna tell me my child gonna take the mask off? I don't think so.
Exactly.
And then make
sure
they have plenty of hand sanitizer that they can use throughout the day. But if no one's gonna protect us, we have got to protect us. Take the hand sanitizer and use it throughout the day.
Yes.
And
yes,
any questions about it,
awesome.
You call my parents, you call my mom, you call my dad.
Yes.
And then I want to see how quick a mother would get up there to that school to say, who do you think you are telling my child in the middle of a pandemic to take a mask off?
It is so amazing. Lisa, you were about to say something, but before you said, you know, as an administrator, serving as a principal, also central office staff, they'll come up there for some foolishness. Now it's time to come up there, and they're not coming up there. That's what's surprising by me. We got to do the changes at the grassroots level, block by block. I'm not going to get away there and worry about somebody else making a decision. I want people to start making decisions. And I said it from the beginning when they say we was going back to school. I told parents, don't send your child back to that school. I don't care what your situation is because there's no plan. It's not a roadmap. Then people talk about cutting money off. You can't cut no money off.
Mm-mm.
Your local district, your state, provide 97% of the income. I don't listen to stuff that I focus on this. Hold people accountable I can put my hands on. Hold people you can put your hands on. And your word to get out. That's where we're going to march. Instead of march for pain, let's march for change. All right, Lisa, you was about to say something there.
I was just going to hit on facts about the schools. One, I'm not sure if they really know fully what to do.
They don't.
And the other, they don't. And I, on the behalf of the schools, you know, I know for myself when I do one small class, with like what, 6 kids and their distance and their masks drawn, but the amount of cleaning that I'm doing and the amount of money, I mean, for me, or when we're teaching, like it's expensive, but that's what we've been doing for years. But I'm thinking to myself in the school system, how are they gonna, or is there funding to make the changes that are needed and the expectations of the teachers? You know, I'm wondering, like, you know, you get one time a child, and I think I said this, a child goes home and says, Miss So-and-so didn't wash my hands. And maybe they did, you know, and, oh, I heard so-and-so's grandma was sick or parent was sick, and they go home and tell their parents.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a whole slew of problems. And I think with the school, it's a huge liability because you do have some people that I think are like, okay, we know there's a bad virus and we're going to do what we need to do. Then, you know, and we understand somebody might have it or might be asymptomatic, but you're going to get that those parents that call up and they lose it, and you guys know. I mean, I infrequently get parents losing it on me, but I've seen it. I've seen these things, heard these things, and I think that's where the biggest issue is. And now I just heard today, and I don't know if this is a rumor or what, but Palm Beach County, I think, is giving an option now if you want to send the kids back or not. So then that created some anxiety for a couple families I work with because they want to know the plan, like if that's the case, if the kids can go back with the plan. And I don't think hurry. When you have to fix something or change something, it takes time. It takes time. I mean, since I heard about COVID and since March 13th, I have been doing training, implementing safety policies, buying things for the program so people see, hey, you know, I even did a COVID training. This is what it's about right now, and we have to work together to find solutions. I can teach yoga outside. We don't even need to be in a school. But there's my solution for my issue, you know, if we are, when we are allowed back in. But I think these things are big problems that are going to take a while to work themselves out.
Oh, yeah.
So we just need to stop arguing and just work together for these children, get the parents back at work, get everybody's anxiety down, because I do believe people react on emotion a lot of times.
Exactly.
Let's keep our heads clear, right?
Yes. Call it number.
Well, first of all, they had
4192. Press 1. Make sure you give us a holler because we want you to share your thoughts on this. We want to hear what you have to say. You know, the board is lighting up at this time. We just need you to press 1 so I can identify that you have a question or statement or comment or your expertise so we can just enjoy what we're doing here. Scarlett was coming in, sharing.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, first
Scarlett.
Of all, as a former school principal administrator, I can truly tell you, and I'm going to say this, if you got an administrator, whether it's the superintendent, whether it's the local school principal, or whomever the case may be, you don't need a roadmap to know, first of all, we have to be safe with children. Period. And the adults in that building. That's one of your first priorities to ensure the safety of everyone inside those walls. You do it with fire drills. You do it with bomb threats. You do it with active shooters coming into your building. We have training in all of that. This is not rocket science. We've gone through some very strict training. And even with fire drills, you got to be concerned about snipers and stuff when you take kids outside the building for just a regular monthly fire drill. So now, who needs to tell you, anybody in charge, how to protect people inside the building? First of all, whether someone mandated or not, everybody needs to have on a mask. Whether it's mandated or not, the staff needs to have on a mask and the face shield. There have been some creative things that have been posted on social media about what teachers have done to strengthen and make their kids safe inside their individual classrooms with plexiglass partitions, plastic partitions, and things of that nature. Who has to mandate that to somebody when you're talking about the safety of people?
Yes,
some things are just things that you're just going to automatically do whether somebody writes a law, tells you a mandate or not. There's some things you're going to do, but to have people come back to a building, crowded in a hallway, no social distancing, no mask, no anything, when any kind of guideline you have given and seen has said this is what helps control that virus, and you don't do it. And then when people start getting sick, then you're concerned about, oh, they got sick. Well, what in the world did you think was going to happen? With a deadly virus. This is not your ever run-of-the-mill virus. This is a deadly, D-E-A-D-L-Y virus.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Woo, I'm telling you, you said a mouthful. And I wanted to share something with y'all today. I was in a meeting, and it was, I'm not going to call out anybody, but one of the individuals that are on payroll with the school system, call in, and even though they got virtual learning going on, remote learning, their biggest concern is being around the other teachers that's there, because nobody is being tested. Teachers don't have to be tested. They're not required teachers to be tested. So this person's biggest concern is not with children, because the children are not coming back, not the first 9 weeks. But they said, we don't know where, you know, because we're dealing with a situation. Question, do we wear a mask? You know, question, would you know you would wear a mask? I'm talking about adults now. What are we doing? If a plan to bring teachers back to the building, which they should have been brought back to the building, you bring them back to the building and you don't go through any kind of testing protocol. You don't do anything. And I'm concerned how this system think they're going to operate. The outbreak may not come from the students. The outbreak might come from the teachers being around each other in some form, to the point where you ain't going to have no teachers for the second 9 weeks. But if the students want to come back, I don't understand that. That confusing me. If you want me to come back, we got to find a way where I can be tested or the person next to me can be tested. But we're going on an assumption that the person is going to be all right when they can be a carrier. We're also dealing with interns. Like I said, interns, they're required to be tested before they can go into school. But the teacher is not required to be tested. So I'm a little confused with that. We're going to make the young people that come in trying to be teachers be tested, but we're not requiring the people that are going to be around every day, they're going to be around every day for 8 hours not to be tested. What is this? This is not a road map. This is just building something, a plane as is in flight. That's what's going on here, and that's why the end results is not going to be good. You know, we can brace ourselves. It's coming. It's coming. That second round coming. We know it's coming. We're not doing anything. We should be talking about wear your mask and everything. You still, if you're going to be in a building with almost 300 or 400 teachers, Scotty can tell you in the big schools, big schools, you got a lot of teachers there. And none of them is being tested. They're not required to be tested.
And then they're tested. How long does it take the results to come back? If you don't get results for 7 to 10 days, by the time you get the results, you may have contracted the virus in that time before you even knew that you were symptomatic.
Hey, I'm glad you said it, not to cut you off, Scarlett, but it was said in our meeting today. They said, now, I've been tested, got my results back in 24 hours. They got it back because dealing with a specific place. I won't call out where it is because it's accommodating everybody on that my job. But what if I go out after I got it, got my results to be negative, be around somebody who might be asymptomatic? I'm thinking I'm negative. This is confusing. And
it
creates the mental stress and anguish because if it's for me, what do you think about children? Lisa said it for the people. Why can't our adults do what they're supposed to do? When are the adults going to stand up in the room and be adults? We have to make hard decisions about which way we want even our education. We keep saying we need them to be face-to-face, and we need, just like the situation in Georgia, Scarlett, all those kids in the hallway, those teachers, if they've been tested, please, whoever stay over in that area, tell me where those teachers been tested. Those students ain't been tested because of their age, they're not going to be the one, but they can be carriers. So I'm like, all of these kids, now you got numbers of what, 9 kids? One school opened up, had 250 staff and
really?
Students and staff. We have a lot going on here that we don't understand why we are in such a rush. I understand everybody need to get it. I understand everybody, but one life matter and your child life ought to matter. You don't need to get them out of the house.
You know, I think, can I jump in a second?
Yeah.
I think what needed to be done, I know down here it's confusing because each city has a different rule or not rule.
Uh-huh.
You know, Broward's got one thing. Miami-Dade's got Palm Beach. I think what we needed to do, and I don't even know if it's possible, but come together and have each state follow the same guideline, or the whole country, if it's possible. I don't know if it is. It's probably not.
No,
because we know that there's people that are in disagreement with so many things, but the longer that I keep saying, the longer, just like the kid was saying to me today, the longer that this is going to go longer we can't go back to school.
Oh, yeah.
Even pointed out, how are people going to have businesses if they're not following?
No,
and like I say, you know, like I keep saying, whether you believe it or not, there is something out there. We know it's confusing. One Fox says one thing, CNN another, this one another. Really, we need to just talk to medical professionals. And we just need to, you know, we don't know if the numbers are accurate. I question a lot of things myself, but I know in my head there's a virus. And I just need to follow, but because we are an arrogant society and me, we don't, you know, my mom was just telling me earlier, something happened in Chicago again on Michigan Avenue.
Yep.
All the destruction again. Guys, come on. We're not supposed to be in the large groups. One, two, people are trying to keep their businesses afloat here. You know, these things are not helping right now, and I know everyone's frustrated, and when you get frustrated, anxiety, depression, anger, it's like a vicious circle, those three things, but channel your anger into different ways, you know, let's find solutions.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Drew's right, he just said the medical professionals, they can't, they're not in agreement.
And you know what, and Scarlett, I know you're about to say so. What's frustrating more or less about the medical profession is just like the CDC. You know, the CDC came out with guidelines for school. Somebody wanted to fact check me on it. Then they came to make the statement they're a recommendation. You're supposed to be the experts.
You don't
need to be making recommendations. You need to make some things, and that's what's wrong in our society. We're fighting so hard. Take Atlanta. Take the situation in Atlanta. Come on, I was up there this past weekend to pick up my sister and everything, and here you got the governor suing the mayor. That's why we can't have nobody do anything, because everybody got their own, you know, hidden motive now, and that's what's sad. We can't do it. Here in Alabama, you got the lieutenant governor undermining the governor. The governor said mask mandatory. Lieutenant governor come right behind and said, no, they ain't mandatory. But they in the same area. That's why I said we ain't going to do it nowhere if we can't do it at home. We got to grassroots this thing and work our way up and stop waiting for something else to happen. It's not going to happen. So what we're going to keep fighting. So we got to hold our people accountable. We're going to go in the street and loot like they're doing in Chicago. What we need to do is we're going to march for pain. We need to come on, put some pressure on some of our people in government positions. Either you do it or we do a way to get rid of you. Call them people to die. Let's get rid of you. I think that's what we have to do.
Well, it's not causing people to die. People have died. And right now they're predicting by the first week in September, we're going to be near 200,000 dead Americans. And this is...
Yep.
And people are trying, and those in leadership are trying to make it seem like this is, oh, it's normal. Well, it could have been worse. Well, guess what? It is getting worse. And we're not going to normalize American citizens dying when they didn't have to, because Lisa is right. And I know Lisa doesn't watch the news, but there should have been a national policy for everybody. A mask in every state is required. This is required. Schools won't open until this. That didn't happen. This became political, and I know nobody want to talk about it, but I'm going to put it right here in the room. It was politicized because as long as it was felt that only those in blue states led by blue leadership were running things, we're not going to worry about it. Well, lo and behold, as Dr. Fauci said, there is no border on this virus.
Okay.
It's going into blue states, red states, and any other kind of state. And guess what? His predictions are true. They are. When the southern states start and midwestern states started seeing these spikes, then all of a sudden, here we are. But instead of the red states and the leadership following what has been done in some of those ultra metropolitan areas in the blue states, no, we're not going to mandate this. We're not going to mandate that. So as you don't do it, then people are getting sick and people are dying. As long as the majority of the folks that is impacting the most are black and brown Americans, you know, no big deal. No big deal. No big deal. But I can truly tell you that if it was the other way, you know, it'd be a whole different ball game. All day and every day. We know how it works. And I'm like you, Doc. You know, we need to be raising sand about this because this is ridiculous. But now, I think the tables have turned because more and more young people now are getting sick, and young people are dying. It doesn't matter what ethnicity that you are.
And Scholar, you're so right about it. What's so bad about that last part? They have been told by medical experts, you're least likely going to get sick. And that's not true.
It's not true.
That's just like we're talking about sports, talking about football. You playing on a sport that you can't social distance. However, you might be healthy, all you can kind of fight it off. But what happened 5 years from now, 10 years from now? That's why we're having these moments now with these major Power Five conferences, these medical people telling these young people can have some ailments 5 years from now.
Lastly, fact.
Comes from now. So why do you want to play football? Why do you want to do it? All those conferences like the MEAC and the SWAC and all the smaller conferences, they made a decision, we're going to postpone it. But the Power Five want to play anyway. So that tells you people all about, then you got high school playing. You know, still high schools are just going on like regular, but you're having athletes over in Georgia, you're having athletes in Alabama, you're having these kids. But these things, when you catch positive, it affects your body. It can attack your blood system. It might go dormant for 5 years, 6 years. What's going to happen when that parent has to take care of that child 5 years from now? All you want to do, because it's a fight, Scarlett. It's a fight with these parents about football.
I know, and then you know who weighed in today?
Please.
He was upset that the college football teams are canceling. He wants to see football. Well, is your child a football player? Is your child in the same situation that all parents got to make about whether or not these kids are gonna play football in the fall? And it have the lesser effects if they do get COVID, then they're not getting any guarantees who's going to take care of their medical expenses. You know, and they're signing waivers, waiving all those rights away. I wouldn't be waiving anything away because, you know, if you're forcing me to come to work or come to play or whatever case may be, and I come and something does happen, you know, that burden shouldn't have to fall on the family or on the kid. That burden should be on the folks that made those decisions at the top. And that's why I believe, you ought to be sued.
You know, that's what's going to happen. It's going to fall on the parents because we're going to have to give them, because a lot of these parents are really making decisions. All they care about is playing football. I'm talking about the high school level because I hear them. Like AAU basketball. Right now, you can go in the gym, it'll be packed with people. And you're supposed to have COVID-19 going on. No mask, just playing basketball because they want their son to be up that next level. Parents got to take responsibility and say, no, my child is not playing that. Some of the people who run in the AAU, you should have said no from the beginning when you had it all shut down to June 1st. Still don't play it, but right now people are looking for players to play on AAU to school and already started. So they're going to be playing AAU when they're supposed to be in school? I'm telling you, we got the wrong concept about this, and we got to make the decision. As a parent on a high school level, you got to make a decision as a parent. My child is not going to play no football because 5 years from now, who's going to take care of him? Maybe he might not. But most likely, they're saying the reason they're not going to Big Ten is not going to play is because of the possibility of what's going to affect these young men in 4 or 5 years if they contract this and they get into their blood system, you know, clogging up the blood. So, but you're going to put your 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old out there. Well, I tell you, you know, it's just so amazing. So amazing, the focus here. So we all have to take responsibility of this, because it's time to do that. Because we have to make decisions. And my nephew's a coach, and he just gets so infuriated with these parents. You can't come to school, you virtual learning, but you can bring football practice. You make sure you be at football practice. But you can't.
Dr. Law, I want to interrupt you one second. My friend just jumped on, Lisa Friedlander Burns. She's a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
She's a frontline worker, so I'm glad she jumped on. So she might be able to share some of what she's been seeing, and I know she put posts up on Facebook about this, and she's very well informed and knowledgeable. So she's on here now. So if we have any questions, or Lisa, if you can hear me, if you want to add anything about COVID or taking extra precautions or any added information for people listening, I appreciate her jumping on. Yeah, and I think sports should be the last thing that we're worried about right now. I think we need to be worried about how do we get the kids or when. My guess is they're not going to be in school for the rest of the year. That's my assumption. And how do we prepare and have the kids home again?
Exactly.
You know, it's a huge concern, but it just, you know.
Yeah.
We have to somehow pull through and pull together and wash your hands, wear the mask, and social distance.
Yeah. Exactly. All of that.
The longer it goes on, the longer your kid can't play football. And then, you know, what's another concern? You know, a lot of these youth have undetected heart conditions. You know, you see kids dropping over from stuff, and God forbid if they got COVID, boom. You know, so it's very important to think these things through. And, he's right, college should be virtual. I know most of the colleges down here are virtual, but you can go to the campus and stay in the dorm or stay in a sorority house. Well, that I don't understand, a sorority house or frat house. I don't know how smart that is right now, but there's a lot of concerns and questions. And it's okay to open Walmart, and it's okay to open this, but then this can't open. And I think that's where a lot of people are getting upset too. So we can go to the grocery store.
You've got to plan for all of this. And if you are in a facility and you haven't planned for whether it's the hybrid learning, where you go where most of 3 or 4 days is on virtual, or one day you go in for in person and you're on different schedules, you got to have a plan. But just to have people just to walk back in a building with nothing, that's not a plan. That's just ignorance.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to say this to any leader out there who hasn't done any planning, and whether they're mandated or not mandated, you know what to do to keep people safe or try to keep them as safe as possible. You've got to do that. You got to find space in that school or facility to space out, reduce the size of those classrooms and the number in the classrooms, and make sure that people are able to have masks, gloves, and a lot of hand sanitizer. You got to make sure that custodial staff, if they're cleaning those rooms in between certain movements or things at night, afternoon, if school is everyone's out of the building, you gotta make sure those places are really wiped down and clean, and you gotta do that throughout the day when they're in the classroom.
Yes,
this stuff is serious.
What it's all about. This is very serious, and that's what we gotta realize. It's just like SARS is gonna be around here a while, and we're gonna have to understand and continue with the new norm to practice what's right, and we have to realize this social distance is not gonna stop. Because we say we got a vaccine. First of all, when you think about a vaccine, that's something whole different what we're dealing with now. You have a vaccine just because you have one and feed to get one. It takes years to get into your body, to build your body up. So it's not going to be stopping you and avoiding what we're dealing with. You can take the vaccine. You're going to deal with the fear of some people. And Scarlett said something about it last week. you know,
the Tuskegee.
Like in Tuskegee,
mm-hmm.
they had the sister telling people it was a vaccine that helped them, and it was sister. Now you got another fear inside of individuals that I'm not taking that vaccine. First of all, it's going to take years and years and years for it, and that was I read that today on an article. It's going to take years. Sorry, you know, it took years for that to be dealt with. It's going to take years for this. So don't think because they're going to have a vaccine, everything will get back to normal. No.
And I think that's what people think. And I've had kids mention to me that they, because I know of three kids offhand that cannot leave their house. They're not even allowed out in the yard. Not good. I think kids should be able to be out in the yard. But it's been stated to me that they can't leave their home until a vaccine comes out. And I don't want people, you know what, I can't get a flu shot because I had a terrible reaction to it years ago. So I can't. I was sick for a whole month. So not everything is 100%, and I don't think we should have people be disillusioned. Like, oh, a vaccine's going to come out, and, you know, everything's going to be fine. Because we don't know. And it might work for you, but not might not work for me. Like, that's not the cure-all for this.
Exactly.
We know
that's
what we know and what works for it, and vaccines aren't always 100%. And doesn't it take years to make a vaccine, and they're making one in like 3 or 4 months?
Yes.
That's worrisome to me too.
Yeah, Fauci said that.
And then they do not have enough. They do not have
enough
African Americans in the sample. The trial groups they're doing now. They do not have enough Black Americans or Black and Brown people in those trials right now. And that's one thing they're saying, because you don't know how it may react for one culture. It may react another way for a different culture.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You have to use everybody. You can't just use certain people. You have to use everybody and test for a period of time. So that's what we are. So don't depend on that being the do-all. Let's really use these safety measures. Adjust to not being able to do some of the things we used to do. Expect to be outbreaks again. Expect to be closer again, not fully, but to a sense. We have to realize that we're living in a different time now, and this thing is a lot smarter than some of the people that are dealing with it. This coronavirus has mutated into 2 or 3 different things in 3 months.
Yeah.
Just remember, it's supposed to get hot. When it get hot, it ain't going to make it through. The numbers went up when it got hot because it found the cold cavities of your body to live in. It live in your nose and it live in your throat. And people got to realize
that. Your eyes can get into, I think, too.
So people got to realize, don't get thought. Let's look at the new norm. You might not can't play football this year, and that's the big talk now in the Power Five about whether they're going to make a decision, somebody, Big Ten, going to make a decision tomorrow, whatever, what we're going to do. But if you don't play this year, you don't play this year. Fine, but you'll save some lives. And you won't save lives just now. You'll save lives 10 years from now. That's what everybody got to understand. We got to look beyond what we see now and see 10 years. We talk about planning. That's the way to be planning. You plan not to play this year so you can maybe save a life in 5 years, 6 years. This young man called himself playing football and can't breathe no more. His level is down because he caught COVID-19, even though he recovered. That's why I have a problem with people. Oh, about 40,000 recovered. I don't want to hear that. Once you contract that thing, it gets into your body. I don't want to. I'm doing my best not to. So for somebody, I heard somebody say the other day, well, everybody going to get it. That's not true. And they're like, everybody don't get the flu. Everybody don't catch the flu.
Right.
You know, everybody don't. So my point is, this ain't something we're going to back on. We don't want to do no immune herding as well. We don't want to do that. We don't want to put people in that situation, think we're going to get to the numbers we need to get. We're not going to get to it because it affects people beyond right now. We got to look at 5 years from now, 10 years. Man, I can't play sports no more for a couple of years. If we live on sports, this country got to find something else to focus on. Maybe you can focus on building your family, taking care of your life at home, like some people struggling with right now. You know, because they ain't used to being at home. This is a time to think about doing that instead of worry about a football game and worry about what's going to happen if you don't play football. The country ain't going to be – oh, the country – you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Because you go home, turn your TV on, watch what's on TV like you did for the last 6, 7, 8 months, 5, 4, 5, 8 months.
That's
watch what we're going to television. You watch a lot of live movies. You watch a lot of Netflix. You watch a lot of things. Now, let's keep it real now. You didn't just you don't go home when we didn't have any sports on that. Oh, man, I'm just going to look at some. Work on your opportunity to read a little bit. Read a book or two. That's like I said, the best secret kept is in a book for some people. You know, now you can read a book, write a book, do some poems, do something, because you're going to have to. It's a new norm. It's a new norm is coming.
And I think people think that things are going to go back to the way it was.
Yeah, that's
they're not. And I think where people really, really are struggling, a lot of people don't do well with change.
Nope.
This is like being in the moment. And the other thing I wanted to comment on, I think some of the misinformation is coming because as they're getting information, it changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're finding that this virus hits different people in different ways. They're finding some treatments, and there are treatments working. But I think that's a big issue, too. People can't be in the moment, and the change is so constant. We are in constant change.
You never had it like this.
And that's a huge... huge struggle, and when there's change and people were already not doing well with it, anxiety goes up. And then I think some people are to the point where, like, I'm done being locked up for 5 months, let me go run out. And you can run out, but just put your mask on and social distance, you know. But I think there's a lot of factors that are playing into this right now.
A lot of factors.
And like I said, I'm worried about when this is, you know, calm down and people do go back out. You're not going to get some people out of the house. They're saying there's like 1% of the population and kids that will not step foot into a school.
Mm.
And I've said this all along. Teach about self-care, self-love, washing your hands, brush your teeth, comb your hair. You know, we teach this in our program. You know, I teach it to kids. We take care of our masks. We take care of our bodies. We sanitize, you hand wash. Approach it that way. Think of it that way. You love yourself. Take care of yourself.
Exactly.
And teach that to the kids. You know, awesome. Self-love, self-care.
Awesome.
That's my view. And I tell the kids now that I work with privately, and just for any illness or disease, just keep your hands clean. Keep the tissues on you. Keep tissues so you have to sneeze or wipe your face or, you know, touch your face. It's things like that. Just approach it in a positive way. That's how I view it. Just take this in a positive way.
Exactly. And
making good changes for hygiene.
Definitely for that, for sure. Now, Scott, let me ask you now. In South Carolina, are they doing a blended learning instruction with a remote instruction as well as in person? Are they doing something blending?
We're the largest school district in the state, yes. Many of the districts are adopting what we're doing here, and that is to, first of all, it's been planned. It has a schedule. Kids are divided into what days they'll come by their last names and the alphabetical type thing. Then only one day a week will they have in-person learning. But they're going to watch the medical data, because if they see, even with that one day of in-person learning, if there's any spikes or any problems out just being there that one day in a classroom, they're going to go back to all virtual. But right now it's a hybrid situation where they'll have 3 days virtual, 1 day in person, and then they'll flip. Depending on your last name, you may have 2 days virtual, that type of thing.
Exactly. And sad to say, I just lost Lisa on the power situation. But I asked that because I noticed
she
a schedule of one of the local schools. One of the local schools They are doing the same thing. I think it's just a timing thing to come in at after an hour and a half and do that. But they're doing it through the local school here. I saw their schedule. They remote up to 12, and then the first, like Mondays, then on Tuesday they'll do all day, Wednesday they'll do all day. But on Thursday they will only be dealing with certain grade levels. And Friday they'll be doing this other side. So if they was probably doing the remote part, blending, those students would come to school one day a week. They just doing it by remote now, following that schedule. Following that schedule right now, they're not actually putting foot on campus, but if they go the second semester, I think they're going to move toward that. But if the number changes, the health thought changes, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have a situation where they will have everybody totally remote. But they are totally remote the first 9 weeks. But I'm just saying their schedule set up like if they go back, they're going to go at least 1 or 2 days a week. And that's a blended
schedule.
See,
the parents here had to decide. And then we got some that's going all remote. They don't want, you know, they're going to be all remote all year. But whatever you signed up for, if you go in, you can go remote later, but if you sign up for remote from the very beginning, then you will be remote all year. You can't go back that one day a week or 2 days a week.
Okay. Well, they are truly, truly trying things, and it's a challenge, and we're going to kind of see how everything will turn out. But we got a big challenge ahead of us, so we're going to have to make sure we do it. But we're really at the end of the show now, Scar. This is your birthday. We're going to let you. At 10 o'clock, you can just sit down and do what you need to do. And we hold y'all too long. Like I said, I lost Lisa because it's actually the power went out. So I lost her that way.
The power in her area is out.
I don't know, but I know the power out at this spot right here where I am, unfortunate. So what we're going to do is we're going to close the show out right here. You can share your last thought. Maybe Lisa would call in through a Blog Talk Radio, and she can share hers. We got about 7 minutes anyway. Just share your for a couple of minutes, share your last thoughts, and then we'll get ready to close it out, and then I'll talk about tomorrow's show, which is our relationship show. Go ahead, Alice.
Okay. Well, thank everyone for joining us tonight, and hopefully we've said something that has enlightened, confirmed, reaffirmed, what you already know. This is serious times, and serious times calls for serious measures. We must take it seriously. It's not business as usual, and we have to be concerned about not only our individual health, but the health of the children and the young adults in America. This is everybody's problem. So thank you for joining us tonight. These are some heavy topics and heavy decisions. But I will say to the educators, please take care of yourself. Be safe. Do what you can to take the precautions to protect yourself, because you're vitally important to the education of the children and young people in this country. And don't ever forget that you're very important and critical. I was telling someone a week or so ago, he said, what you don't realize is that while folks are trying to destroy American education has educated just about everybody in a free and public arena who are in powerful positions now, came through a teacher.
Exactly.
The teacher in your home.
Thank you.
And then when it's time to leave home to go to school, that teacher in that classroom. We've all had them, and America has been successful because of teachers. So respect that, but more importantly, respect yourself and what you do. And just know that we applaud you and salute you. And for our parents, please continue to take sound medical advice in protecting your home, your family, yourself, your children, your significant others, husband, whatever. Do what you can to use your gut level feelings of what you know is the right thing to do. And hopefully we'll see you again and talk to you again on our next show next week.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much. And I thought I had Lisa back on, but it looks like she's dropped again. So what we're going
to
do is...
You at least got to get this straight now.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Y'all have problems every week.
We're going to work it out. I tell people we're going to keep on getting this thing right. We're going to work on it. It might take us a little while to do it, but we're going to do it. That's what it's all about. So it's what we're trying to do here on Blog Talk Radio. We're trying to share. I see she's back. I think she's back with us. I'm going to see you. Lisa, I think I have you
back.
Can
you hear me?
We lost you on the power. Yeah, we lost you on a power situation. So
I got
to come to everybody on Facebook.
Y'all
got
to get this straight.
Yeah, y'all, we're going to have to work this out.
I'm going to
out,
Alabama.
Yeah, come on. You have to come to Alabama.
I'm
going to we'll
come there.
Sure
I want to get away from here.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
go there and help him.
Yeah, help me because I'm trying to make these devices
I'll be
work,
your
but
new
things
assistant.
Don't get better because God is working. I'm seriously saying that because he's putting us in a position that we can get some things to really help out, maybe some more routers, some more power setups, and we can just make this thing work like it needs to work. So we're going to keep on doing it. But, again, we had an awesome show tonight. Lisa, you want to share your final thoughts because we have about 4 minutes before we close it out. If you take two, then I'm going to wrap it up in the last two.
I guess I just want to focus in on what I started with, which is, you know, I'm concerned about the kids. And just think about the children. Think about that everything's, you know, been ripped out from under them, and I know that that goes for adults and families too, but you know, I'm a big advocate for the kids, and there's no socializing, there's no homecoming, there's no, the proms were taken away, there's no first day of school. Let's think about the kids and how they're feeling and what they're going through, and especially the teens are already emotional to begin with, and I just think, hey, why? I know we're not all going to agree on everything, whether it's political or medical, but let's agree on helping each other out, working together, and let's agree on taking care of our youth. These kids are not going to be educated or socialized, and I just think
exactly.
It's very important. They're not. They're really not, and what I saw towards the end of my day today, I wanted to cry right with that kid. You know, that was very intense to me, and it's a lot. You know, it's a lot. A lot of things have been removed from them, and you know, most kids would like the adults to just comply, just do the right thing. Like again, I said, if you don't agree with this and. But people are sick and they're dying from it. And the numbers and the testing and things might not be perfect and it might be off and it's confusing. But know that there is a virus out there and that we together as a united front, we can combat this. We can decrease numbers. Let's just try to work together. So
that's
my
what
final
do.
Thought
we're
on
make
it.
Sure.
Yeah, we
and
need
I
to
say,
work
I
together.
Appreciate
we really do.
Appreciate both Denise and Scarlett. And again, this is Scarlett's birthday. Happy Young Days. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I get younger all the time.
That's what I'm talking about. Every day you get younger before you go have your baby shoes. But
you got that right. Benjamin Button,
too. That was it. So it's awesome. And we appreciate we're given the opportunity to pull you away from your opportunity to celebrate with your family, with your significant other, your husband, and tell him thank you for allowing you to, you know, him to allow you to break away. And his shirt is coming. His shirt is on his way, and we're going to get it to him. We're going to get
you.
It to him as soon as possible. And, again, tell him thank you so much. And for all the people that's joined us, we lost you on Facebook, but I was able to boot it back up, so I got people back on Facebook. So, you know, I'm trying some things. I'm trying to make it work. I have to be buck-tied with this thing right here. We're being broadcast by Periscope, which is Twitter, and that was Larissa D. Smith, 15. Then we've been broadcast on Dr. L. D. Alberto Smith on Facebook and on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, team, so much. And we look forward to having an awesome show next week. On tomorrow night, we have a relationship show tomorrow. And I tell you now, it's going to be a fired up one tomorrow. Got Eddie Pratt Pastor Eddie Pratt coming back, relationship coach and strategist. I'm asking him to come back, and we're going to talk about relationship during COVID-19, struggling to survive. That's the title for tomorrow. We're going to see why. We're going to talk something tomorrow. We're going to talk about relationship during quarantine. We're going to talk about it. So we're going to have an awesome show. The scheduled time for tomorrow is 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, on Facebook, on Twitter, and I might use a little Instagram. I can use 4 or 5 devices. I'm working on it. I'm going to get it right because things are going to work out. It's going to be awesome. So join us tomorrow night for the Dr. Lowe Show, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. It's the real relationship talk show coming from the guru point of view. Have an awesome rest of the night, and we look forward to having you tomorrow night. And team, thank you again. I'm going to say it again. Happy birthday! Because our hashtag is One Life Matter. The second hashtag is Responsible. Third hashtag is Keep On Grinding. And I got 4 of them. See, we didn't gain so many of them. And that's Communicate for Understanding. And before I give you the last taste of what I normally give everybody else, we want you to remember that the mask contest is still on. Send the best mask design to us for this show, Talking Real to You. We have a $50 gift card to Amazon, and also we get your free shirt with the names of the host, the co-host, and our hashtag One Life Matter. Have an awesome night. Check us out tomorrow night because we look forward to having you. And, you know, God is so good. He's going to continue to bless each and every one of us. Again, as I always close my shows out, and what we're going to do, we're going to enjoy our moment with some music that we do. We don't own the right to it, but it's just like this. I love you, and there's a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night. We'll see you tomorrow. Yeah. Well, back some old school teams.